If something's already been done successfully, then learn how it was done and apply it to your situation. Situations are always different, no two are the same. Persuading someone as to what is and why it is important is something books are written on. You have to know how to maneuver the maze to get your answer.
In this episode, we speak with Charlotte Haynes, CEO of River Ridge Land and Cattle Company, the Grayson County, Virginia-based sustainable farming operation. Charlotte provides insights on building credibility and enhancing brands through effective communication. You're listening to CEO Voices, Leading with Communication, with your hosts, June West and Steve Soltis.
Charlotte, great to have you with us today. And
thank you for having me.
Can we get started by just asking you what got you into agriculture and what led to the development of the River Ridge Farm?
Well, I probably have a gene for agriculture. As a child, my friend's grandfather had a farm up here in Grayson County at Mouth of Wilson. And I came up sometimes with her, but then if she didn't want to come, I would come with her grandfather, just the two of us. So I'm pretty familiar with this area and with farming from way back. I just always loved it. And I remember my dad driving me over the mountains, and I saw River Ridge Farm for the first time, gosh, when I was pretty young. And I just dreamed that I would live in a place like that someday. And now I own it, but I don't feel land ownership. I feel land responsibility. How I got into farming, my husband's first wife died, and I'd never been married. I was 35 when we got married, and he said, let's do something neither one of us know anything about so we can build our memories together. And he already owned some land on the New River. So Philip and I bought that piece of land. At the time was 340 acres, and we've been expanding that as land becomes available. And that's how I got into farming. But one of the key things was we asked our USDA agent who makes money on farming? Who's profitable? And he said, New Zealanders. So in great Philip form, we packed up and went to New Zealand for 5 weeks with five different farm families. And it was the biggest crash course of my life. And we came back and started managing our own farm and changing the ways, and made mistakes, but made successes. It's taken a long time, but I consider myself a farmer now.
What were some of the tenets that you brought back from New Zealand that you continue to use today in land responsibility?
We wanted to protect the land. We saw that the land was not that productive. We went to New Zealand, and they cared more about the land than they did about their genetics. They would carry a little trowel around in their back pocket and dig in the soil. If they couldn't find worms and bugs, it would upset them. And they knew they weren't managing the land right, because the cattle need to have the land to be correct in order to grow good grass, in order to grow them. So we came back with ideas for rotational grazing, and we wanted to increase livability of our soil. And initially we found no worms, no dung beetles, nothing in our soil. And we discovered a lot of it was because of fertilizer. Fertilizer will actually kill your microorganisms. It will kill your insects that are beneficial. So we learned to manage land with the manure from the animals rather than fertilizer. And when Brantley Ivey, my present farm manager, came on, he cut my huge fertilizer bill so far down we hardly use it anymore. So it's doable. We've just got to show more people.
Charlotte, you just gave our Darden students a great example of operations in the farming business. It's one of the courses they take here at the Darden School. So I'm delighted that you gave them a little bit of a primer on what operations means in the agricultural business. You've been a leading voice in the sustainable agricultural movement for a very long time. How would you describe your voice and the communication style you use to win hearts and minds?
We're moving past sustainable agriculture into regenerative agriculture. I feel that sustainability is the path and regenerative is the goal. So I'm kind of rewording your question a little bit. And we must redesign farm systems to enhance biodiversity and store carbon in the soil. And conventional farming methods, like over-application of fertilizer and pesticides, set off an additional chain of negative effects, you know, on our precious ecosystems. And then your communication style, of course, in anything, I think, would depend on who you're talking to. Peers in agriculture, when I have a discussion with them, that's like, it's what's worked for you and what's worked for them. And the tendency is that we all want to learn and improve. In our rural Virginia community, they do not want to be told what to do or what they're doing wrong. And they really don't like change. So this is a challenge. And I tell them they have to change to keep things the way they are. And boy, do I get some questionable looks when I say that. So I'll say it again. I tell them they have to change to keep things the way they are. And this opens up a discussion and they go, what the hell do you mean by that? And I say, we like this county. We like our farming area. We want it to stay this way. But we have pressures from a growing population, from a changing technological world. And so we have to change what we're doing in order to stay the way we are.
That's terrific, Charlotte. I know you spend a lot of time traveling the country in various halls of power and influence, advocating for family farms and farm trusts and land preservation and regenerative agriculture, as you put it. Can you walk us through how those conversations unfold?
That could be a long conversation, but it could be very simple. If something's already been done successfully, then learn how it was done and apply it to your situation. So situations are always different. No two are the same. Persuading someone as to what is and why it is important is something books are written on. So you have to know how to maneuver the maze to get your answer or to get your point across or to raise funds. And I always thought I was going by the triple bottom line, but there's a lot of triple bottom lines out there, but mainly it's profit, people, and planet. When I'm dealing with conservation and agriculture, if they don't get this, then it's hard to persuade someone we need to take care of the land and the water and the air. Those are life's basic needs. And once we get this done, profit, people, planet, we can work on how to assist small farmers to be profitable and offer healthy food. It does not have to travel thousands of miles. We can help them pass this land on to the next generation of farmers and not rob our natural resources for the next generation. Most people in favor of family farms, they may know why they're going away. So how to convince organizations, governments, researchers, philanthropists that action is needed to preserve them, not just research and webinars. Land cannot all be owned and managed by wealthy people and or corporations or the government. Immediate profit plays too much of a role in those areas. And with a farmer, they want to make profit, but their lifestyle and their farming gene means more to them.
Charlotte, this is great insight. You are somewhat unique, I would think, farming is an intensive, labor-intensive business. You were talking about the coyotes keeping you awake last night. It's a 24/7, 365 job. How do you find your own sense of personal renewal? How do you keep all these balloons up in the air at the same time?
It's a little stressful, Steve, because
I bet.
I want to be involved in everything and probably have ADHD that, you know, I hear something, I'm interested, and I go off in that direction. So trying to stay focused and not let people interrupt me too much when I really need to concentrate, because I am dyslexic. But networking is key to my balance, because if I have to go out and research things, if I have to start from scratch on everything I do, that's too time consuming. So over the years, I've just built such a network. I would encourage your MBA students to just to become great networkers, and do read my husband's book, How to Get Anybody to Do Anything, by Philip Ames.
We talk a lot about personal branding and how you go about establishing your own brand. And June has a theory that, you know, that's got to come through in your first 90 days on the job. You know, 20 years ago or so, you move into Grayson County, a very traditional, as you mentioned, agricultural community in southwestern Virginia. And you had to go about establishing a brand. And I would say, as a part-time resident of that county, your brand resonates. You're very well respected. You're very much an influencer there. And you've done it in the span of, in terms of Grayson County history, in the blink of an eye. Can you kind of just, what are some of the lessons that you've learned in establishing the Charlotte Haynes brand, and how that dovetails with the River Ridge brand and Grayson Landcare brand and some of these, all these other initiatives that you're involved in?
Another good question, Steve. One thing that helped me out is I married a man who had a brand, but I truly feel like I have built my own brand. Now that I think about it, this question makes me think about it, because I know I want my farm to have a brand. I want Grayson Natural Farms to have a brand. I want Landcare to have a brand, but I've not thought so much about me having a brand. But I can tell when I go places, people are looking at me, and, you know, people ask me questions that they're not asking other people. So I have established a brand, but I didn't start off very well. I kind of had tunnel vision from being just a physical therapist. I started off badly because I studied conservation, and I just said my way or no, there's no other way. I just had an attitude. I don't think I was aloof, but I was in a hurry to get my mission going and have it be successful. So I got tangled up with that, and I realized it, and other people helped me realize it. I was too pushy. I wasn't looking at the whole picture, and I wasn't learning how other people felt. I think that's called emotional intelligence. And again, it may be a gene, you're born with it, but if you have emotional intelligence, use it, because other people have their intelligence in other areas. But if you don't have emotional intelligence, then find somebody who does and use them. At first, I couldn't take criticism. I was not open to why farmers felt the way they did and why they did not trust the government, or they didn't trust the come heres, which would be me and people not having 100-year history in the county. Those are called come heres. The other ones are been heres. But I did study the history of the area. I studied that farming was the prideful place to be.
Oh, that's wonderful, Charlotte. I'd like to go back to your attitude and all the work that you've been doing with Rachel's Network and with women. And I'd like you to speak to our women students. You've been in this business a long time, a male-dominated business, as you've talked about. You were married to a CEO of the Haynes Corporation and went into the farming business with him as well, and continue today. And our women students really need to hear from you about what you were chatting about in terms of attitude. How do they manage to have their business life, as you mentioned, and also to have We talk a lot about work-life balance and quality of life, and maintain a sense of themselves. And that's what I see from you, is through all of this, you've maintained a sense of yourself. You've taken the criticism, and you've maybe changed, but you still have this the Charlotte Haynes brand. And so if you were to speak to our women students, what particular advice would you give them?
I just think people have to know what they're capable of doing, and don't take on too much, even though it's there, it needs to be done, but you've got to prioritize or you'll drive yourself nuts. And find other people to help you. Delegate. Learn how to delegate. And don't be embarrassed about it. I know if I go out and play pickleball or something and I come back and I want to have an excuse, you know, oh, I play pickleball, but I really had to because of that. You don't need an excuse. Go play pickleball. You know, that you're doing something for yourself. And people, if they don't respect it, they should. Because if you take care of yourself, you're your number one. If you don't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of your family? How are you going to take care of your business? So start out saying, I'm going to come home at 5 o'clock. And that's the rule. And just try to make it work.
You mentioned your husband's book. And if Phil were sitting here with us today, what communication lessons do you think he would tell the Darden students?
He would try to get to know somebody if he was especially going to meet them for the first time. And he had a technique that, of course, you can look up on the internet now, but he would also observe how they decorated their office. What pictures did they have up? What might be important to them? Do they like to fish or play golf or sail? He just learned people really fast. And that way he could talk with them and communicate with them on things that were of interest to them, not just for the sole purpose of why he was there to be with them or to meet with them. So he put a personal touch in from the very beginning. And always thought that was interesting with him, but he was very rude. He was known for his rudeness and for his abruptness, and I kind of balanced him with that, and that made us a good team. But he had a reputation for being, you know, a go-getter, and he was like the Chinese water treatment where they drip water on your forehead, you know. he was relentless if he wanted somebody to do something. And you sometimes people just give up and say, what is it you want me to do so you get off my back? I don't know. That's not my approach, but it was his. And he would bug him and he would yell at him. And so everybody's different. But like I say, if we made a good team, and so I think team building, if it's not your talent, you need somebody on your team to come to bat for you with their talent. And that's how he worked.
Charlotte, you and your second husband, Charles Taft, are very active socially in Grayson County. Business life and social life come together for you both very naturally. There's some important nuggets there for our students. Talk a bit about the power of networks and social engagements, because this is a big part of the Darden experience as well.
COVID hasn't helped with this, but before COVID, I can describe our social life. You know, I don't know if I'm a social leader or party animal, but I do like to gather people and I like to go to gatherings. And we've had weddings on the farm and baptisms and funerals and sprinkled ashes in the New River. And we've had lots of guests and a lot of variety of guests. And I do have a open house policy. And I probably learned that from my neighbors who, when you move to an area in the country, I mean, here come the casseroles and the, do you want to join our church? And people are friendly. They're not afraid of their next door neighbor. You move to a city and you can go years and not meet the person that lives next door to you. So, you know, what makes that, I just don't know, but you need to have an attitude of fun. There's got to be some fun, and it's important to help others have fun, to share and be fair and stop and smell the roses or the manure, whichever is your fancy. I know Philip always told me, Philip's mother, she said, if somebody calls to invite you to go somewhere, always say yes. You can change your mind, but always say yes. So I did that with Philip because he proposed to me in the back of a shooting lorry in England. And I thought, well, I just say yes. I can always change my mind. But if I'd said no, I'd never have worked.
Charlotte, do you have any final thoughts on communication that you would like to share with our MBAs here at UVA Darden?
I had a farmer ask me one time, he said, why are you doing all this? Why are you helping people? Why are you giving people ideas and going and working with me? He said, why are you doing this? He said, what's in it for Charlotte Haynes? And I said, well, I've traveled, I've been to school, I have a lot of things, I don't want anything else. I said, I love farming and I love this community. I said, if you had my time and money, what would you do with it? And he thought for a minute and he said, I'd do exactly what you're doing. So I like that comment that he made.
That's a good one.
CEO Voices examines the communication that enables transformational leadership. June West is Associate Professor of Business Administration and co-founder of the Darden Leadership Communication Council, along with her colleague, Steve Soltis. Soltis is the former head of executive communication at the Coca-Cola Company and lectures at Darden. This podcast is a production of the University of Virginia Darden School of Business.